This is second part out of a three-part series. We recently went to the National Student Conclave and got a chance to talk to three PT entrepreneurs, people who've created movements or organizations that you've heard of or been touched by in the profession. This episode focuses on Josh D'Angelo. Maybe you haven't heard that name before, but you've probably heard of PT Day of Service. Ah, now we got your attention. We'll figure out how Josh was able to go from idea to movement with PT Day of Service, along with a few other projects, as we take a look at Josh's journey so far in his PT career. This episode is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. If you've heard about blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, BFR, it's probably because of Johnny and his team. The research, the application, and clinical practice, well, they're the leaders. If you'd like to add it to your clinical toolbox, find out more. Information available at owensrecoveryscience.com and on their podcast, available now on iTunes. owensrecoveryscience.com.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials, at ptpinecast.
How are you doing, Jimmy?
Josh, welcome to the stage. Also, apparently playing basketball is not a good thing to do. Josh, you also, your first touch point with physical therapy is when you injured your back while playing hoops. Yeah. That was your first exposure to PT.
Yes, sir.
But the experience led you to change your major from English Lit to Movement Science at the University of Michigan. And thank you so much for wearing the University of Michigan.
Go Blue.
Blue.
Anyone from Michigan here?
Here we go, that one girl.
One person, all right, go Blue.
You guys can get together after there. While in school, you worked at 1.5 different jobs at one time?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't find a job, and then I ended up overcommitting to 5 jobs. You know, so during the day, I was working in a research lab at the University of Michigan, and I was also a lifeguard. You know, by background, I was a high school swimmer and water polo player, so that's why I injured my back playing basketball. I wasn't used to land sports.
Yeah, you should get it, stay in the water.
Yeah, but then I started coaching water polo at night, and also had a couple jobs. I had some hours between the day job and the night job.
Of course,
so
fill those.
So fill them up, yeah. I worked at the rec department at the University of Michigan, and the funniest one is I ended up getting a job at J.Crew, actually. I really didn't know how to fold. I'm still very not a good folder.
So you were like the window model or?
Yeah, no, I folded. I attempted to fold. They had a board that helped you, you know, and so I folded and restocked shelves. So managed all those 5 jobs at the same time.
So the reason I bring that up is you're going to see it come up in Josh's story. I think you're like a serial entrepreneur. You're never really doing one thing and one thing only.
Yeah, you know, I found that, to be honest, for me, what lights me up is having a little bit of different activities every single day. That's how I work at my best. I've always known I could have the coolest job in the world, but if I had to do that job for 40 hours a week, I think eventually I would get a little bored.
Yeah, it just sounds scary even when you say it like that.
Yeah.
All right, so after Michigan, you go to GW or PT school in Washington, D.C., and while there, you actually, hold on a second, you took advice from your girlfriend.
Take advice from my girlfriend.
You're the very first guy to do that.
Yeah, you know, as smart men do.
Of course.
So they introduced this topic to my class of class officers or student government. And I was talking to my girlfriend that night over the phone, and I said, you know, there's this position I'm really interested in. It's called APTA representative. And she, you know, she says back to me, Jimmy, she says, I think you should run for president. And I say, no, I'm really interested. I want to know more about APTA and what they do, you know, how I can advocate on behalf of my profession and how I can represent GW within APTA. Do you know what she says back to me?
What'd she say?
I think you should run for president.
Yeah.
And I said,
don't back down.
And I said, all right, I was getting frustrated at this point. I said, you know what? I've never even been involved in student government before. What makes you think that I could be a good president? And she said back to me, she said, Josh, you have good ideas. You're passionate and you're humble. I think you would make a great president. That's when I listened to her, and 2 weeks later, I was elected as president of my class at GW.
Wow, let's hear for that. Way to avoid arguments, too, which is always good. So you become president of, that was the class,
the class at GW, the class of 2013.
Okay, so fast forward, you went to a couple of national events here within APTA, CSM and Next?
And APTA Next.
While you were there, more advice came your way?
I started getting involved with the student assembly. Do we have any student assembly candidates here?
Yeah,
student
the candidates
assembly
have
members?
You there. There you go.
Yeah, let's hear it for these candidates. These
working
are awesome.
Hard.
I love it. Yeah, so I got to know the student assembly and had the same conversation with myself that I had with my girlfriend. I was interested in getting involved. I said, okay, I have some ideas, some things I think I can contribute. So I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to run for a position. So I ended up running for president of the student assembly.
Yeah, aim low,
Jimmy,
right?
Yeah, and that totally changed the trajectory of my career, that moment right there, in a couple ways. But I think the biggest thing is I found out what it was like to be surrounded by a group of passionate, dedicated, motivated individuals who are ready to make positive change for the
people. While this is all going on, and again, back to his serial entrepreneurship, never doing one thing at a time, you started to create a community service challenge at GW. Mm-hmm. Talk about that briefly, because that's going to come back again.
One of the things we're passionate about at GW is that Washington, D.C. is a city of great opportunities, but also a city with a lot of need. And so we really want to encourage students to get outside the classroom and learn and serve the community. And so what we did is we created a challenge for all of the faculty, staff, and students within our program to try to accumulate 1,000 hours of community service in one semester. And I'm proud to say we met that mark, and not only did we meet that mark that year, but it became a sustainable initiative from year to year after.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you graduate from PT school, fast forward just a little bit, mm-hmm. graduate and get your first post-PT school job.
Yeah,
absolutely. How'd that go?
I had three graduations. I ended up going to a PT school graduation Friday, School of Medicine and Health Sciences graduation Saturday, and then went to our university-wide graduation on Sunday and started working on Monday.
Why not?
You know, and I say, I don't have many regrets in my career, but if I had one piece of advice, take some time after graduation. Do a little bit of traveling, spend some time with your family and friends. But the job was good. You know, I worked in an outpatient orthopedics practice in Washington, D.C., had some good people around me. But Jimmy, I liked it. I didn't love it. My pathway was I started trying some different things. So I tried getting involved with the D.C. chapter, took on a position as delegate and on a committee, tried getting involved with my clinic, doing some leadership activities there. And then I also tried just taking a bunch of continuing ed to try to find a paradigm to treat from. It's that same thing. I didn't find the right fit. I didn't get lit up in the way that the student assembly lit me up and the way that GW lit me up.
Rooms like this can become energizing, intoxicating. You yearn for it.
Absolutely.
And when you leave, it halts unless you start to seek other opportunities out. So it's good that you were seeking. So again, parallels from our first speaker to Josh, knew they were needing something, they were lacking something, and instead of bitching about it on Facebook, they went and sought it out. Around the same time when you were seeking more interaction, you took a trip.
There's one day I was in clinic, I had a cancellation, and I was on Facebook, of course.
Yeah.
Not bitching, but seeking other opportunities. And a friend of mine, someone who I'd known from my days in the student assembly, actually was developing a service trip paradigm for ATI at the time, ATI Physical Therapy. And I had seen him post pictures of these trips in Latin America. And let me set the stage for us, a bit about my background. I never really traveled growing up. My parents, I love them dearly, and I was fortunate, but I got to go on vacation every year. But we would go to the same city, to the same beach, and stay in this exact same condo every single year. So at this point in my life, I had never even traveled outside the country, but I was seeking something more. And so I decided to shoot Ifosa a Facebook message and said, hey, I saw what you were doing on those service trips. It looks amazing. Can I join you on your next service trip? And sure enough, he said, of course.
You guys were going to Guatemala, and we're talking about Ifosa Guabadia.
Yeah.
And Ifosa was trying to develop this trip, and you go on it, you reach out, you ask for something, another parallel.
Yep.
You go on the trip. What's it like?
My first time out of the country, so it was very eye-opening in a lot of ways. And I had some pretty transformative moments on that trip. One moment that I would love to share with you here today, it's a bit of a personal story. One of the days we were treating in this rural town in Guatemala, and we were working out of a clinic that was connected with an orphanage. And when I walked in, I made eye contact, connected with this little girl, maybe 2.5, 3 years old. She had these big brown eyes and long brown hair and this gap-tooth smile that just lit up the room when she smiled. You know, we'd play hide-and-go-seek, we'd play chase around the clinic, and I really bonded with her. We became fast friends. And it wasn't until later on in the week that I came to know her story of why she was in the orphanage in the first place. Came to find out that in some Latin American countries, there's unfortunately a challenge with a lot of criminal kidnappings. And her family was the unfortunate victim of some kidnappers. One day when she was living with her older sister and her two parents, they broke into her home and they killed her mother. And they left a note. They left a note directed at the father that said they're asking for money, they demanded a ransom, and if he didn't pay the ransom, they're gonna come back for the two daughters. So he did what I imagine is what he felt like was his only choice. He ended up fleeing the country. He took the older daughter with her, but he thought that the younger daughter was too young for what he knew would be a treacherous road ahead. So he gave her to the local orphanage. Jimmy, when I heard that story, my heart just sunk. Now, here's a girl, 2.5, 3 years old, already bearing a bigger burden than I could ever imagine when I'm in my mid-20s. So I followed my heart, I walked out of the room, went down to where the orphanage was, picked her up and scooped her up and held her close to my heart. And I told her, even though she didn't really speak any English, and I didn't really speak any Spanish, I had a quote on my mind. I said, be soft. Do not let the world make you hard. Do not let pain make you hate. Do not let bitterness steal your sweetness. Take pride that even though the rest of the world may disagree, you still believe it to be a beautiful place. I put her on the ground, watched her walk away, and I made a promise to myself in that moment. I said, I'm going to promise to fight for a safer, healthier, happier world for little kids like her, little kids like all the kids in the orphanage, and kids around the world.
With a mission like that, Josh now had something to focus on working towards. At the moment, he didn't know what that would look like exactly, but that's a common theme among people who create movements. They have a goal in mind, and they figure out how to get there later. More from Josh's story after a message about finding where you want to go in your career. What if your PT job could literally take you anywhere you wanted to go? As a travel PT, you're free to move about the country. Different settings, different locations, in all 50 states. You can get there with the experts in travel PT, Aureus Medical Staffing. See where your career can take you. With positions all over, there is no limit to what you can create with your physical therapy career. Find out what's open to you right now with zero obligation at all at AURUSMedical.com. That's AURUSMedical.com. That thing that you earn, your PT license, is a license to travel anywhere you want to go. The experts in travel PT are waiting to hear from you right now at AURUSMedical.com. AURUSMedical.com.
So when you come home, how did you start working towards that, mission?
Efos and I, we became close friends over time. We spent some more time traveling together. One of the ideas, an idea that Efos came up with, but he emailed me this idea for a day of service across the world. And so we shot some emails back and forth and started developing this idea for a global PT day of service.
What did it look like? What did you want it to look like? Because right now it's an idea.
Yeah, and we were refining that with each other, right? So we started calling all of our friends I met in the student assembly, mentors, advisors, and Jimmy, everyone responded so warmly and so positively. It was an idea that they thought we had to chase, except for one person.
Uh-oh.
And it just so happens this one person, if anyone could squash the idea, he was in a high position. He probably could have squashed the idea if he wanted to.
Okay, so when you got to know.
So we go out to lunch, right? And I just pour my heart out to him. And then after I pour my heart, tell him everything Efos and I had been talking about, there's this long pause. And I'm almost like, should I let him know it's his turn to talk? And I just waited it out. And the first words out of his mouth were, I don't think you should do it. And I was shocked because this was the first time we had gotten someone who responded negatively. And so I asked why, and he said, you know, try it out on a local level first, see how it goes, refine your operations, then scale it up to state, then scale it up maybe to national, and maybe eventually global. And I'm thinking, that's going to be 5 years from now. You know, if we're going to do this, no, this thing has to be global right away. So Jimmy, we didn't listen to him.
Good.
One of the things we asked ourselves, well, we said two things. One, do we have a vision for this? Is it clear? Yes, you know, we know the pathway to get there. The second thing we asked ourselves, we said, what happens if this thing massively fails, right? What does this look like in its worst case scenario? And we said, well, Efosa and me will probably just go out and serve in Washington, D.C., and it'll be two guys who are serving that day. That's what it looks like at its worst. We said, okay, if that's the worst case scenario, that's not so bad. Let's do this
thing. Yeah. All right, so you jump in. This was 2015, mm-hmm. and I was actually at the very first PT Day of Service event, by chance. I happened to be going to PT school in the D.C. area. First PT Day of Service, 3,000 participants, not two.
Nope.
all 50 states, someone in each state contributed, 28 countries around the world. This is year one, and essentially a mosaic of compassion and service. Give an example to you quick of what people took in terms of how they would serve on PT Day of Service.
Absolutely.
What they do.
I think one of my favorite stories, you know, some of the little things really resonate with you, right? There's a group in Texas who found a need for an individual in their community who was in a wheelchair, but he didn't have a wheelchair ramp at home. So what did they do? They built him a ramp, right? But then they actually found that there are more people in the community who needed wheelchair ramps. And so they decided to make it a quarterly project to go out and build a ramp for someone in the community. You know, little things like that really resonate. And then my favorite moment every PT Day of Service, I'd love to share with you. My favorite moment is actually first thing when I wake up in the morning. First thing I do, roll over, check my phone for the hashtag PTDOS, And what we see, because the rest of the world is ahead of us in time, is projects rolling in from around the world.
Yeah.
So you see projects in Japan, Indonesia, Iraq, Nigeria, Myanmar. Myanmar crushes it every year. They have the news out. I have no idea what they say on their newscast because I don't speak the language, but it looks amazing, you know? And they have the shirts. We never send them our shirts, so somehow they produce them themselves. It's amazing to see the passion and outpouring and the mosaic, like you said, of service being painted all around the world for that one day.
I want to go back to the wheelchair ramp, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Someone saw a problem and then they fixed it. They found the gap. So parallel to what the movement maestro was saying, if you see a gap, solve it.
Absolutely.
You can't miss if you do
Absolutely.
That. I'm going to blow through these stats real quick. That was year one. Year two, all 50 states again, 42 countries around the world. So you go up there. Third, PT Day of Service, all 50 states again, 55 countries. That was 2017. What are we looking at? 18, 19?
Yeah,
where
so
we are
58
today?
Countries last year, and we're still calculating the totals. It was October 12th this past year, but I'd love to invite you guys. We're doing a PT Day of Service wrap-up event this evening, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., co-sponsored by APTA and ATI. We're building teddy bears for a local hospital. And so we're gonna do teddy bears and cards. Our goal is to build 200 teddy bears. We'll need you guys to help us do it to make it a reality. It's gonna be right next door to the
room. Who's coming tonight? Anybody? Yeah. Show a hand. There we go. Okay,
yes.
200 bears is easily gonna do it. How many people have taken part in PT Day of Service before this year?
All right.
How does that make you feel, looking at a room like that?
Yeah, it makes me feel grateful. That's the best way to describe it. You know, full of gratitude for people leaning into an idea to better their communities. You know, I think we're in a really compassionate profession, you know,
yeah.
a really empathetic profession. And it makes me proud to be serving with people like you. I feel like at this point, I'm just along for the ride. And it's really people like you all who are driving it from year to year.
I like the people whose hands aren't up yet because that's opportunity. This
opportunity.
Thing's already pretty
yep.
huge.
Yep.
And there are people who haven't engaged yet, but maybe they will.
Yeah, and it's all about local service for a global effect. So you're creating change in your community at home, and change in your community plus communities all around the country and all around the world creates a change.
This is a great spot to stop in Josh's story. He had a mission to create a movement. And he accomplished it. Thousands of people around the world were creating change thanks to his idea. Now, he could have just stopped right here and rested on his laurels. But, spoiler alert, he didn't do that. We'll get to what else he created after a message from NewStep. They created something amazing too. The first product of its kind 25 years ago, they created the NewStep Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide, and they continue its tradition of innovation with the NewStep Transit. It uses advanced software and hardware to help you get your patients better faster. Transit provides versatility and flexibility on a single footprint in your clinic. Exercise options for arms, legs, core, ankles, and or feet. Bilateral, unilateral, take a test drive, and more information at newstep.com. That's N-U-Step.com. Back to Josh's story. He wasn't done creating quite yet.
So you could just essentially just ride off into the sunset and just be the global PT Day of Service guy. But the reason I had you tell the five jobs you had in undergrad is because you're kind of a serial entrepreneur. So while this is going on, you launch a second and a third company?
Second company is Move Together. That's the nonprofit organization that I co-founded with IFOSA. We had both had visions for a nonprofit organization. Me kind of more domestically in Detroit, where I'm from, the area in Michigan. Him for a big international nonprofit organization. So we merged those visions. And the mission of Move Together is to increase access to quality rehab medicine around the corner and around the world, both domestically and abroad. And we have some pretty neat programs to help to support that mission and bring it to life.
And you're also working on, going back to what we started with,
yeah.
you liked your job. It was good, but it wasn't great.
Yep.
So parallel, you created your own.
That was an interesting story too. But one day, actually on my second trip back from Guatemala, good things just happened in Guatemala. I got a phone call from this gentleman who I'd never met before. And he said, "Josh, I got your name from a friend. I'm 82 years old and my goal is to ski on my 90th birthday and I want you to help me do it." And so I said, yes, this is my type of guy. You know, this is what I've been looking for.
Great phone call.
So I go over to his house, meet him and his wife, sit down at their dinner table. They're both really extraordinary people, both worked in the White House for a period of time, and negotiate a deal to work one-on-one with them. And what I didn't realize is that he was trying me out for all of his friends. when he started to improve and he started to meet some of his goals, I started getting phone calls from his community, coworkers, friends, neighbors, et cetera, and I started to build up my private caseload. And some interesting things happened. I talked to some other providers along the way and ended up talking to one person, Keaton Ray, who actually served on the student assembly with me again.
Another parallel.
And Keaton and I kind of landed on this pain point. We said that there are a lot of providers out there who are frustrated with their experience. They don't like being told how much they need to bill, how many patients they have to see, getting dictated whether or not they can provide care in arbitrary ways by insurance. Simultaneously, we noticed a lot of patients are frustrated, getting surprise medical bills in the mail, going into a clinic where they're being double or triple booked, and also seeing different providers all the time. And so we said, okay, if patients are frustrated and providers are frustrated, there's gotta be a better way.
So you saw a gap, and
thus Movement X was born.
So describe it real quickly. What is Movement X?
Yeah, so it's all the foundation is a better way to care, right? And what we're doing is we're creating innovative pathways for the where and the how and the what of physical therapy. You know, one of my beliefs, which I'll mention in a moment, one of my beliefs is that physical therapy is an innovative profession that can really offer new and unique solutions to individuals to help them move and live their best. So that's what we're after with Movement X.
I like that. All right, so right now you're still obviously running with PT Day of Service, Move Together still going on, and Movement X is really just getting on early in that hockey stick of success. Mm-hmm. What would you give the people listening, either recorded or in the room, what advice would you give when that person you respected who could have crushed your idea, what did you wish was whispered into your ear?
That's a great question. I think it starts with the vision. Have a clear vision of where you want to go. And once you have a clear vision, and it takes time to figure out, and you go through iterations of it, then work your way backwards to allow yourself a pathway of how to get there, right? And once you can see that pathway of how to get there, pursue it relentlessly. So that's the first thing. Number two, I would say, would be the team. An old Michigan quote is, the team, the team, the team. It's all about the team. I'm a firm believer that we're stronger together. So there's no way I could do what I did and have done, and hopefully will continue to do, without people like Ifosa, without people like Keaton, without Fred Gilbert, who moved from Alabama to DC to help launch Movement X, without Scott McAfee. There's this old quoter theory that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You're the average of the five people you spend your time with. Be careful and be intentional about who you surround yourself with. You know, and the last thing where I'll kind of end is, figure out what you believe. What fuels me every day is this belief that everyone should have access to quality care, regardless of your circumstances or regardless of where you are. That pursues and helps me fulfill my mission at Move Together and gives me the fuel to continue on every day. And then with Movement X, I believe that everyone has the capacity to move and live their best life, and that physical therapy can be the innovative profession to help to bring it to fruition. And I believe in an empathetic world, a compassionate world, a world where a little girl in Guatemala, regardless of her circumstances, has the same opportunities as a kid growing up in Michigan. And I'm gonna fight for that world every day.
It's here for Josh.
Thank you, Jimmy. Let's get going.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet. PTPintcast.com. Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.